Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Ann. Today is Friday, March 10th, 2017. We're here with our last episode of the week, but we'll be back next week with new episodes from Monday through Friday. We are here 5 days a week, of course, talking Clippers. The main story of the day today is the Clippers finally getting a good win last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. Looking to maybe get back on track after what's been a slow return from the All-Star break, even with Chris Paul getting healthy. The team has been kind of underwhelming, 3-5 in their first 8 games. Although, you know, the Grizzlies have really been struggling too, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, up until their win last night against the San Antonio Spurs, had been really struggling as well. So it's almost like these teams that are in 5, 6, 7 in the West have all been struggling. The Clippers, fortunately, were able to come out on top in this Grizzlies game. Although, for anyone who's been doing serious seeding watching or perhaps rooting for the Clippers to fall down to the number 6 spot in the Western Conference, that doesn't seem like it's going to be happening now. The Clippers have a 3-loss lead over the Thunder and the Grizzlies, and I believe they're going to end up with the tiebreakers over both teams. So at this point, I don't see the Clippers falling to 6. I think they're either going to finish at 4 or 5. Right now, they're 2 full games behind the Utah Jazz, 2 fewer wins, 2 more losses. But the Clippers have 2 more head-to-head games left against the Utah Jazz. And the Clippers have dominated the Utah Jazz. I think they've won 17 of the last 18 in the Chris Paul era. And then on top of that, the Clippers have held the Jazz to like 72 and 75 points in the team's 2 meetings this year. So they've thoroughly had Utah's number. That doesn't mean that a win is guaranteed, but you know, it's a good matchup for the team. But if the Clippers are going to be stuck at 4-5, obviously what we want to look at a little more heavily is who's going to be the 1 seed in the Western Conference, because that's the potential second-round matchup. Presumably the Clippers play the Jazz in the first round, and you don't want to take anything for granted, especially because injuries happen, randomness happens, and Utah's a good team in their own right. The Clippers just seem to play well against them. But if the Clippers get past the Jazz, who are they going to face in the second round? The Golden State Warriors or the San Antonio Spurs? Well, the Golden State Warriors have been leading the conference pretty much all season long. And right now they're 2 games ahead of the San Antonio Spurs, which is a decent buffer, if not an ironclad lead. Here's where it starts to get interesting. Obviously, with Kevin Durant going to be out for a little bit longer with his knee injury, and then the Spurs having 2 head-to-head games left against the Golden State Warriors, you say San Antonio would probably have a pretty decent chance they definitely control their own destiny, because if they win one of these 2 games against the Warriors, the Spurs are going to have the tiebreaker. That's huge. If they win both, they'll be tied and have the tiebreaker, and they only have to play them even in the other games in the season. The first of these 2 head-to-head games is Saturday, this Saturday, tomorrow. It's a 8:30 Eastern time, 5:30 Pacific time, that like Saturday evening ABC game that they started last year that I actually think it's a great game. I think it's a great slot for the NBA to be having games. But if you're not watching College Basketball Championship Week, I think that should be a really good game. It should be really entertaining. And it potentially has huge playoff ramifications. If the Spurs can win that game, they'll head into next week and essentially the last month of the season only one loss behind the Warriors with the tiebreaker. That's crucial. The Clippers, as far as they go, have a game of their own on Saturday against the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, I mentioned in this before the Clippers-Timberwolves game when the Clippers lost to the Wolves two nights ago that the Wolves are just the kind of team that the Clippers have to beat. If they, you know, it's just the kind of game you have to win. It's a bad loss. And the Clippers lost. It was a bad loss. They've been playing poorly, or had been playing poorly, at least up until this Memphis Grizzlies game last night. The Philadelphia 76ers fall in the same category. It's just the kind of game you have to win. If you don't win, it's just gonna stink and follow you. But you win, you put another tally in the win column, you move on, you don't think about it. It's one of the games where you almost can't win because you're expected to win so heavily and you should win so easily that a loss just kind of kills you. But this is a chance for the Clippers to, you know, to carry some momentum. It's kind of funny, after all of the doom and gloom from the last couple of weeks, because they have played poorly, even in the games that they won against Chicago and Boston, they were not the Clippers' best games. But right now the Clippers have won three of their last four, and they've got a chance to go into Monday night's pretty huge matchup against the Utah Jazz, having won four of their last five, including wins against three teams, Chicago, Boston, and Memphis, who are above 500 and playoff teams. So that's pretty, you know, if you don't look so much at the fact that some of them were ugly wins and that the Clippers played really badly in the five games before this stretch, they might go from 1-4 in the first five games after the All-Star break to 4-1 in the next five games after that. That's pretty good. So maybe they're starting to turn a corner. And, you know, like I said, even in those first couple games against Chicago and Boston, the Clippers won and you're happy to get a win. A win at Chicago is a good win, no matter how you get it. The Boston Celtics are a really good team. You beat them by 14, it's a good win, no matter how you get it. You'll take it. But as far as building towards the playoffs, you want to think, what can we do to get hot at the right time? Against Memphis, finally last night, the Clippers looked like they might really be putting it together. They played a good game, essentially. Austin Rivers had a good game off the bench. He had 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Jamal Crawford had a solid game, limiting his shot attempts, 14 points on 5 of 9 from the field. Raymond Felton had a really good game, 5 of 10 from the field, 11 points, 4 rebounds. And Mo Spates, he didn't explode in for one of his big scoring nights, but he had 8 points, 3 rebounds. He hit a couple threes. I think he drew one charge and then one other offensive foul on a push-off from Marc Gasol. And then in the starting lineup, you know, it's just kind of solid performances. DJ only had 5 points and 11 rebounds. He didn't have a great night. But Chris Paul, 19.7 assists. Blake Griffin didn't have a great shooting night, 4 of 13 from the field, but 14 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. He got close to a triple-double. And that's actually really nice to see. I know Shap. Shap is a writer for Clips Nation. He's actually, Shapon Debnath is his full name. He's a doctor, so he does, on Clips Nation, which is the Clippers blog, he does a lot of medical breakdowns for us. Whenever there's an injury, you know, I consult with him about what does a third degree hamstring tear mean, you know, whatever the medical terms are. And he knows what he's talking about when it comes to injuries, because Lord knows I don't. But he also does, you know, he fills in for random things when he has time. Obviously, he's got the busy life of a doctor going on. But he covered this game, I was reading his recap. And one thing that he noted on that I think is a really good point is that in the last game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, Blake Griffin looked really off passing the ball, which is unusual for him. As a big guy with, like, a 2-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio who's averaging more than 5 assists per game, he actually had only 2 assists, which is really low for him, and 6 turnovers, which I'm not going to check the game log, but might be a season high. Actually, I will check the game log because why not? But, and so at least one turnover was, you can really just chalk up to the fact that Blake is still kind of learning how to be a three-point shooter. So there was a play where he basically caught the ball for a three. The defense closed out because I guess they're ready for him to be a shooter now in a way that they weren't before. And then, so Blake pump faked. The defender flew past. He took a dribble inside the three-point line and then realized, oh, wait, I can still shoot a three, and tried to step back behind the three-point line again. And at that point, the defenders recovered, so he tried to throw a pass, and he threw it out of bounds. So that's like him just not quite being comfortable as a three-point shooter yet, even though he's normally very comfortable in other spots on the floor. But really, all night, he was bad against the Timberwolves. He threw bad turnovers, passing out of double teams. He threw passes that weren't there. Very, very unusual for Blake. And after just quickly checking, it looks like he had one 7-turnover game against the Golden State Warriors. I actually remember that game very vividly because it felt like he was so unnerved to be playing against the Warriors. He kept on driving and jumping and not knowing where he was going with the ball and throwing away. So it actually doesn't surprise me that he had more turnovers that game. He also had a game early in the season with only one assist. So I guess two assists and 6 turnovers it was his second worst assist game of the year and his second worst turnover game of the year. But back on track tonight. Again, the shot wasn't there, but the shot's going to come and go for different players at different points in the season. But what I think is really encouraging is that even when his shot wasn't falling, he still found 14 points on 13 shots. And he added 12 rebounds and 8 assists to only 2 turnovers. So he was really helping the offense a lot, even though he wasn't scoring a lot. And he brought it on the glass, which is something that, has been really inconsistent for Blake. He's only averaging 6 rebounds a game in these 6 games so far in March. He's averaging about 8.5 on the season, which is fine for a power forward, but you'd really like to see Blake in the playoffs, get up into consistent double digits on the rebounding average, which is something that he did a couple years ago when we got, quote-unquote playoff Blake against the Spurs and then the Rockets. And we know he takes it easy during the regular season because of his injury history. It's why he shoots so many mid-range jump shots during the regular season instead of driving aggressively to the rim. He doesn't want to take those hits. Again, in the playoffs, hopefully he can crank it up and get back to that level that we saw him be at against the Spurs and the Rockets. I think one thing that's good to note is that the bench played well. I talked about in one of the podcasts this week that a lot of the Clippers' struggles in the first couple weeks after the All-Star break really seemed to originate with their bench struggles. It feels like all 4 of those main bench players, Raymond Felton, Jamal Crawford, Austin Rivers, and Maurice Bates, all of them were playing poorly almost every single night. Jamal had a couple hot nights where he bailed out the fact the other 3 guys were abysmal. But overall, the plus-minuses have been horrible. The individual stats have been horrible. And there's been a little speculation, just among Clippers fans that after carrying the team so much with Chris and Blake out, they almost let up a little too much, thinking, okay, these guys are back, we can take it easy now. Maybe they were, they're definitely overworked. You're talking about minimum salary guys and backup caliber players filling in for the starters and actually winning a good amount of games with Chris Paul and or Blake Griffin being injured. But, this Grizzlies win is a good win. Even though the Grizzlies are depleted, they're like pretty much always depleted, but they're still good. And even though they're struggling lately, you go into Memphis, I think in the Clippers' 6th game in 9 nights, on the second night of back-to-back, traveling from a loss in Minnesota, you come into Memphis and you win by 16. I think that's a pretty good win. You'll definitely take it for a Clippers team that, since the All-Star break, has lost to Golden State, San Antonio, and Houston, and you're thinking, they finally beat a Western Conference playoff team for the first time since they beat Utah on February 13th. So it'd been almost a month since the Clippers beat another Western Conference playoff team. Hopefully they can repeat that this coming Monday against the Utah Jazz again. that's really about it. I have a couple of reader emails that I do want to get to, so don't think that I didn't get your emails if you sent me them. It's just that sometimes to answer the more specific questions that I get via email, I have to do a little bit of research. And as I had mentioned on earlier pods from this week, it's been kind of a crazy week for me personally, just with different stuff going on that, you know, I'm not going to get into. But then also, on top of that, it's midterm week, so any, you know, research, studying, stuff like that has kind of been devoted towards non-Clipper topics. But maybe I'll get into it next week. I have to check and see when the Clippers have off days. But Oscar, I'll just say what the question was, even though I don't want to get into it because I haven't looked up the numbers yet. Oscar emailed me asking about the whole Luke Mbamute versus Austin Rivers thing, and the numbers, they're on, you know, kind of the on-off numbers, how the starters do with Luke versus with Austin, and kind of the fact that Austin's been playing a lot of minutes and Luke's minutes seem to be going down, even though Luke is such a great defender. And Austin, up until last night's game against the Grizzlies, Austin had kind of been struggling for a little bit, so it was weird that he was getting a lot of minutes and Luke wasn't. So I'll talk about that a little more once I have like the on-off numbers and, you know, all that good stuff. But with that, we're going to call it an episode a little early so that I can go study for midterms. As always, if you have any questions or feedback or comments or anything, just tweet at me at LucasJHan. You can email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. And just for general Clippers coverage and content, go ahead and follow and hit up at ClipsNationSBN. Read the Clips Nation blog, clipsnation.com. And to follow Clips Nation on Facebook, just type Clips Nation in the Facebook search bar and click like. I do want to, at the end of this episode, just give a quick shout out to a few of the Clips Nation writers. We're coming down to the end of the season, and there are a few people who have really been a huge help to me as far as game coverage goes, previewing and recapping games, which is like the lifeblood of basically a sports team blog. So the first guy is Taylor Smith. Taylor Smith is one of my assistant editors at Clips Nation. He covers a lot of games, but more than just covering games, he helps me really fill in between the gaps. You know, we kind of have a big staff of volunteers at Clips Nation, people who do a game here and there for fun because they enjoy following the team and they enjoy writing. Taylor helps me fill in the gaps when we get to a point where we're like, oh man, we're playing Charlotte at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday and no one volunteered. Taylor's a huge help with me for that, and he also helps out the other writers when they're struggling, with whatever problems. And then the two other guys would be Max Jeffrey, who he's a new writer at Clips Nation, but he's actually done a really good job this year, just kind of diving in head first and covering a lot of games for me. So I definitely really appreciate that. You can follow him on Twitter at MaxWJeffrey. And I don't think I said Taylor's handle, but you can follow Taylor at Taylor Bojangles. And then the last guy is Thomas Wood, who's been at ClipStation for a few years. He's one of our better game coverage writers. You can follow him at NotCatPictures. That's his Twitter handle. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week with 5 more new episodes. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.